Let's talk to our Father. Father, we come today just being grateful, just being thankful for the gospel. Maybe many sitting here, many watching, that we've accepted the gospel. But the gospel doesn't end when we accept it. We live the gospel. We share the gospel. So please, Lord, change us, strengthen us today, that wherever we are, that we would be like Christ and share his life and his message. And you're calling some to go to places where no one has gone. I pray that you'd rise up people more and more in your church, not only this church, throughout America and around the world. And if we can't go, we'll help others. And so help us to live for you and be close to you, so we'll have the passion to say and do what you did. So please give us boldness and help us today. Work in us. If there's anything hindering us speaking about you or living for you, that you would reveal that today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to finish this series of God is Working in Our Wilderness Experience. And I looked at four main reasons why we drift away from God. I'm going to share two more today. And this series comes from my own heart, my own life. I've done all of them, drifted away from God. If you're honest, you have too. And when you're drifting away from God, let me tell you, you're not going to tell people about Christ. You're not going to be Christ-like in your home, wherever you are. So the key really is to have a close walk with God. And then a result of that is that you'll live for Christ. You'll talk about Christ. Right? So we have to deal with these things, or you won't want to go. You won't want to give. You won't want to live for God. So this is the nuts and bolts, if you will. So how can we wander away from God? Four things quick. I'm not going to spend time. First, temptation of sin can draw us away. Wayne is here today. I met Wayne. He's sitting right there on Thursday at the New Haven Green. And I was out witnessing, and he saw me. He goes, he was waving to me. Come over here. I want you to talk to me. And I asked him if I could say this before I said it, because I wouldn't do it publicly. But he accepted Christ a long time ago, was walking with God, had a great family. But because of this, he drifted away in sin and different things in his life. And I met him, and he wants to start serving God again. He wants to live for God again. So, you know, when I go there, I pray. I say, Lord, two people profess Christ that day, but, you know, he wants to. So let me pray for him right now, actually. Father, I come. Thank you for Wayne, Lord. Thank you that he wants to come back and live for you again. And help him to forget the past, move forward, and live for you, Lord. I pray you find him a place, a permanent place to stay. Right now he's homeless. My heart breaks. You know my heart, Lord. I want to just take everybody home. Can you provide for him employment, that he would live for you again, Lord? I thank you that there's grace and forgiveness at the cross. And I pray for all of us that we would confess our sin today, not let sin stop us from knowing you and living for you. The second thing was you're tired of doing the right thing according to the scriptures. I know a pastor's wife, she was in the ministry, and they were doing the right thing. They didn't see a lot of results, and she just walked away. She walked away from her husband, from the ministry, and today she's away. She's not even living for God. And she knew the scriptures. So it can happen to anybody. The third thing is you're a trying or a devastating circumstance that happens in your life. And we looked at the example of Job. He lost his family, his finances. I know other Christians that have come and they've lost loved ones or things have happened in their life, and today they drifted away because of that circumstance. And the fourth thing we looked at was by not trusting in God's promises. Hebrews 3:12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." I know this brother that struggles over and over again. Does God really love me? See, his unbelief causes his emotions. Like when he's not loved, it causes him to go away from God. I don't even know if I'm saved. You see, his unbelief causes him to drift away from God. All right, put down number 5, E, in your outline, is by resting in our temporal blessings and forgetting God. So turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And so we talked about last time, and the children of Israel were in the wilderness, right? I'm not going to go back, and we went to Numbers 13 and 14. So this is now Moses rehearsing the law. They're on the east side of the Jordan River in Moab, and he's talking about what happened during the wilderness experience for 40 years. And we found that God is faithful, even our wilderness experience, that even though we reject God, he's still faithful to his people. That's the cool thing about God. We're not always faithful to one another. We give unconditional love. Sometimes it's conditional, but God never does. He can't forsake his people. It's impossible. We still will suffer away from him, right? So we saw last time two quick things was that God's faithfulness in bringing us through our wilderness, and our wilderness would be this life as a Christian, right? One is we must believe the promises. Look at verse 1. It says, all the commandments which I command you this day, you shall observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. Look at the end of verse 3. It says, that he may make thee known that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And I spent a lot of time in that. So we got God's GPS. We got the word of God. If you want to make it through this life as a Christian, you're going to have to follow the word. We can't do our own thinking. If we don't follow this word, we're going to suffer in the wilderness, right? We're going to suffer. So God's given us the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to help us through. The second thing we looked at is by God pruning us to make us more like Christ. Look at the verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness. To what? To humble thee. To prove thee. To know what was in thine heart. Not for him. He knows already. It was for us. Whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And then look at the beginning of verse 3. It says, and he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna. Jump down to verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep thy commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. We're talking about that on Wednesday night. Fear God. It's kind of lost today. Even at times I don't fear God. This church sometimes doesn't feel God. The church in America, we've kind of gone away from it. It's Yahweh in the Hebrew meaning. It means to reverence to the point where you're obeying. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And I talk about, we always talk about the love of God, and we should, but the fear of God is important too. It says to fear me. But he also protected and provided provision. So go to verse 4. It says, thy raiment or clothes waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Jump down to verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, of depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, he says. When you enter this promised land, you're not going to lack anything. A land whose stones are iron, and out of a whole hills, thou mayest dig its brass. So there's going to be copper, there's going to be iron there that's found in Palestine in abundance. So he's saying, look, for 40 years, they didn't have any blisters. Did you ever buy a new pair of shoes? I had sneakers, maybe within an hour, you get a blister, right? Their clothes didn't go old. I brought this shirt here. This shirt is 30 years old. My kid's like, Dad, will you get rid of this? It's starting to, like, the buttons are starting to go now. And I've worn this for like 30 years. So I was in Home Depot like 3-4 weeks ago, and I was wearing this thing. And a guy came up to me and said, I want that shirt. This is a true story. I want that shirt. He goes, take it off right now. I'll pay you for it. I'm like, what? Yeah, no, I'll pay for it. Whatever you want, I want to buy that shirt. But listen, for 40 years, their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes didn't get blisters. So when we follow God's word and his promises, we will lack nothing that we need. We have to be careful. Now I'm going to get into the section. We have to be careful. God will protect. God will provide. Along the way, it doesn't mean that you won't suffer, though, because in this world, you're going to have suffering when you stand up for Christ. Right? And God knows when you're going to die. He already knows it. I found a story about a missionary. Her name was Lori Anderson, and she was ministering in the Indians of Peru. And she was having a quiet Bible study on by the water, and she was reading her Bible. And as she was reading her Bible, she took up her prayer list, her eyes closed, she began to pray, and she didn't see this anaconda weaving right next to her. And all of a sudden, it struck her, burying her fangs into her flesh. It says it withdrew to strike her arm again, and again it held her, screaming in its coils. It reared up the death blow, then suddenly the giant snake released her and went away into the water. When Lori was being treated, a witch doctor from a nearby village burst into the hut and stared at her. She said she couldn't believe Lori had survived. She said her son-in-law, also a witch doctor, had chanted to the spirit of Anaconda this morning to send her to kill her. I am certain, Lori said, except for the protection of God, it would have worked. It's a true story. So Satan wants to destroy your life, take your life, but if you're walking with God, nothing can happen to you and I unless God allows it. It wasn't her time. We have to really believe that. Now, I'm not talking about tempting God in situations, but we have to understand that. Now, let me focus. This is where I want to focus out. The dangers of taking God for granted once he brings you to your promised land, especially in America. Remember, I gave you a statistic before. If you make $40,000 a year, you're in the 2 percentile of all the world. If you make $60,000, you're in the 1 percentile of all the world. So let's talk about the dangers of taking God for granted as he supplies in our wilderness. We forget to praise him. Look at verse 10. It says, when thou hast eaten and are full, I look up that word at Saba, and we're going to look at it in another passage in a second. It means to be filled, to be satisfied. So when you're satisfied, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good in which he hath given thee. So the key to not to forget God is to bless God all day long for what you have. We're supposed to praise him all the time. Let me ask you a question. As I'm reading through this, I'm thinking to myself, did I like praise God all week? How much did you complain? And how much did you thank God? I actually was taking a shower this morning. Lord, thank God for this hot water. I mean, we have so many good things that we don't thank God. We just take it for granted until it's not there, and then we complain. I thought about Jesus when he healed the 10 lepers, and he said, only one came back. He said, where are the 9? I mean, that's Jesus, God himself. He's like, where are the 9? I found this thing by Charles L. Brown. He said, there's 9 suggestive reasons why the 9 did not return. He says, one way to see if the cure was real. One way to see if it would last. One way to see where Jesus we would see Jesus later. One decided that he had never had leprosy. One said he would have gotten well anyway. One gave the glory to the priests. One said, oh, well, Jesus didn't really do anything. One said any rabbi could have done this. One said I was already much improved. So you must be very careful that we don't forget God. Now you say, wait, Pastor, I'm here in service today. I'm not forgetting God. Be careful. I really thought about this. Do you have a walk with God every day where you're talking to him and he's talking to you? If you're not reading the Bible every day and you're not praying every day, you're not having a conversation with him, you have forgotten God. Don't think just coming here, it's a good thing. There are people who sat home today because it's raining. I'm just saying, I've been a pastor a long time. Right? Somebody's like, you know, I'm tired. I'm just going to stay home. You know, now that we have a video, and I'm not saying everybody watching is doing this, but I'm just trying to say is like, look, if we really understand what God has done for us, we'd be praising him all day long. This is the warning Moses said. Warren Wiersbe, I found a true story. He says, a ministerial student from Evanston, Illinois, who was part of a life-saving squad in 1860, a ship went around the shore of the Lake Michigan near Evanston, and Edward Spencer waded again and again into a frigid water to rescue 17 passengers in the frigid water. His health was permanently damaged. Some years later at his funeral, it was noted that not one of those persons he rescued came to show respect. Are we grateful people? I want to make a statement. I said this, giving God glory right away for everything keeps us from taking credit for anything. Think of King Agrippa in AD 44. And I want to just want to read the text to you. In Acts 12, 21 through 23 says this, and upon a certain a set day, and arrayed in a royal apparel, set upon his throne, made an ordination unto them. So they say, the story and say it was his birthday. And the people gave a shout saying, it is the voice of God, not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. And I was talking about on Wednesday night, like, we don't fear God. I mean, Ananias and Sapphira only lied and God killed them. They were taking the glory. I'm kind of like challenging you today to not forget God. And it's so easy in America to do it. The second thing, the dangers of taking God for granted is we forget to praise God. B, we forget to walk in the path of God's word continually. Look at verses 11 through 13. Watch what he says. He says, beware that thou forget. The Hebrew word means to bring from want of memory, attention. So you lost the attention, right? It's the idea. Not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, right? Your 401k is going up, your bank account, you're saving more money, and all that thou hast is multiplied. See, then we have to be careful. See, and there's difficult times. We have nothing. We depend on God, mostly. It's when we're doing well that we have to be the most careful of what's happening in our life, of forgetting God. Proverbs 30, 7 through 9, same principle. Two things I require of thee, deny me them not before I die. He says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient or necessary for me. Verse 9, lest I be full. That same word in Deuteronomy 8:10. It's a saba, it means to be filled. You're satisfied. And then what are you going to do? Deny thee and say, who is the Lord? I don't really need God. Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the Lord in vain. That's the part of not trusting in God for God to take care of you. It's easy to drift away from God and follow his ways when we're comfortable. Yeah. I remember the Gatlin brothers, you know, a lot of singers. If you watch, a lot of singers start in the church and they're following God and then they get famous and they go off. I remember Larry Gatlin said, you know what, I followed God and I went off and then I got throat cancer and then I came back to God. The third thing is we can become prideful in thinking that we obtain the blessings. Watch what he says. Look at verse 14. He says, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget, same word before, in want of memory, your focus, the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible or fearful wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do good at the latter end. Here it is, verse 17. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power, or my ability, and the might of my hand, oh, my hard work, have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he that established his covenant with thee, swear unto thy fathers that it is this day. See, anything that you have, you say, Lord, thank you for the mind you've given me. Thank you for the body that I could work on. See, we should be thanking God. And that will keep us from not forgetting God, even though you're blessed. Money is not evil. It's the love of money that is evil. It's not giving God glory that is evil. Now, I was thinking about this, and I was just like, is it wrong to have things? No, it's not wrong to have things. But when we don't stay focused on God and thank Him along the way, it'll lead to destruction. Because that's what He says. Look at verse 19. He says, and it shall be if thou do at all forget the Lord God, there's some consequences. And walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. And that is all bad in the Hebrew, and it means to wander away, to destroy. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you are not obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So you didn't remember God. So we have to be so careful here. I found this quote by John Deary. He said this, just as failure to praise God would lead to forgetting Him, so forgetting Him would lead to worshiping other gods. And one of the gods is us, itself. Hosea 13:6, referring to the wilderness period, said this, according to their pasture, so they were filled, and they were filled, and their heart was exalted, therefore they have forgotten me. Proverbs 16:8 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. I found this reading by Abraham Lincoln in 1863, and this was a day of proclamation of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. Can you imagine if we had that today? This is what he said in 1863. He said, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved through many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. He's saying this in 1863. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. Could you imagine today? You say in 1863? If this was read today by the President of the United States, so how can we wander from a close walk with God? Here's the last one. By being trampled down spiritually by not getting strength and wisdom from God. Go with me to Exodus chapter 18. One more today. Exodus 18. So let me set the scene for you here. Moses is at the Mount Sinai, and he's going to receive the law pretty soon. His wife and kids and father-in-law have been away. So he must have sent them away during Egypt time. They're coming back to reunite with him near Mount Sinai. That's the context. All right? And so the first thing I want to talk about here, look, let's just start in verse 5, okay? So Jethro's his father-in-law, he's coming. And verse 5 says, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and with his wife unto Moses into the wilderness where he had camped at the Mount of God, again near Mount Sinai. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, have come unto thee and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he did obeisance, or he bowed to him with respect, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all that travail had come upon by thy way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of the Pharaoh, who hath delivered his people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now, I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. Now remember, Jethro was a priest of Midian. He wasn't a believer up to this time. But the next couple of verses show that he probably became a believer. Verse 12, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifice for God, and Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And some of it had to do with the spoils they got at Amalek, and we'll talk about that in a minute. From morning until evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou alone? And all the people stand by thee from morning unto eve." So there were long lines of people trying to get justice of fairness of what was going on, what was given, and what was happening. No doubt Moses was totally overwhelmed. His father-in-law saw that. Now listen, no one should get burnt out serving God. But the reason we do is because we're not getting the strength from God to do it. And we're trying to do too much that God hasn't called us to do. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, when I first started, like, you don't want to fail. Who wants to fail? Like, so you just keep, in your job, or wherever you are, you're, I want to keep going. And like, then you have people's expectations. Moses had 2 million people expectations of what should have been done and not done. And they didn't think he was fair at times. They wanted to stone him more than once. So all the expectations, think of the expectations your wife has for a husband for a wife, the parents for the kids, for whatever it is. You put all those expectations, and if you live by those expectations, now I'm not saying you shouldn't be a good husband, wife, child, all those things. But if I have to try to live up to people's expectations of being a pastor, and everybody is different. I could talk to you about when the whole corona thing hit, what I shouldn't do, and the total opposite, people telling me they should do this with masks. I can go on and on. Vaccines. If I said this, the other person goes, "That's wrong." You know it's because it's in their own household. So Moses had these expectations. And then God gave him some wisdom through his father-in-law. So I want to give some of that wisdom here from the Word of God. So the process of giving over responsibility. This is practical. The first thing is realize you can't perform alone. Look at verse 15. It says, "And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God." I mean, I got to do something. These people are coming to me. He says, "When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them known the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest, it's not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." Wow, a lot of great wisdom. And I can honestly say I didn't do it at times. I was like that Energizer Bunny, just kept going. I remember walking past everything in the church. I'd fix everything. I'd be painting. I'd be doing, and like, when I first started the church, working 4 days a week, painting here till 2 o'clock in the morning, preparing 4 messages a week, doing the bulletin, everything. That's a pace that just, I almost wanted to quit twice, I have to honestly say. And I thought to myself, wait, you know what? I need to take this heed, right? Now, Moses should have known this, because we go back to chapter 17. Let's just go back to verse 8 in chapter 17. And this is the first battle after they came out of the Red Sea, after Exodus. Watch verse 8. It says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua," this is the first time we have mention of Joshua here, he's about probably 45 years old or so, "choose out men and go and fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." That represented the presence of God. "So Joshua did as Moses had asked him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat there. Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on one of one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write for this a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi," means the Lord our victory banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So he knew that he needed help. No doubt when they were lifting up his hands, they're all praying. I call, we have prayer meetings and different people come, but always Kenny's usually there and Iko. I call Kenny Aaron, I call Iko her. They're like my Aaron and her. And they pray. I hope you're an Aaron and her to somebody and you have an Aaron and her in your life. Because we all need it. We all need support. We need support. We need support in serving and praying and encouragement. Yesterday I got a text from Kyle. He said, Pastor, I'm praying for you. Thank you for preaching the word and teaching, man. It's changing lives. I love you, brother. Somebody this week said, hey, thanks for pouring to my husband because he's a changed man. That's encouraging. You don't look for it, but we should be giving. Are you grateful? Are you saying thank you to the people around you in your home? Are you taking for them for granted? That's forgetting God. I'm trying to be practical. If you all week didn't thank God for anything, you forgot God. Why? Because we have everything. We don't need him. Who is the Lord? See, that's what he could say to us if we didn't praise him this week, we didn't thank him. He would say, Wayne, who is the Lord? And then we complain because we don't have this, or this person did this to us, right? You're forgetting God. Somebody was getting overwhelmed. I was driving this week, just taking them somewhere, and getting overwhelmed with the politics and everything that's happening in America. And why I said, can you believe? And I said, just calm down. I said, God's sovereign. Just relax. You're a Christian. We don't get from CNN what we're going to do or not do, or right? All these people. You know, that mayor who says, I'm only going to talk to a certain person, a skin color, that's crazy stuff. This cancel culture thing, don't fall into all that. You love everybody, I don't care what their skin color is, what they do, whether they're homeless. Man, Wayne, I love you to death, man. When I sat down next to Wayne, we talked for like a half hour. He's got a great heart, this guy. But you can look at, from a distance and say, look at that homeless person. You know, I was reading this week, you know, when Jesus was talking about, who do you invite to dinner? Just paraphrasing. Do you invite people to dinner that you get along with and they can invite you back to dinner? Like, who do we reach out to? Just, we want to be comfortable, just our friends. That's not Christ. I'm not saying that's wrong. So, the process of giving responsibility to others, realize that you can't perform it alone. Number two, prepare others to help you. Look at verses 19 through 20. This is really good for leadership, by the way, anywhere for yourself. Look at, go back to chapter 18. Look at verses 19 and 20. He says this, hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and show them the way where all the... and they must walk, and the work that they must do. So Moses said, look, teach these people, the ones you're going to pick, the principles of God's word, so they can apply them to others. That's discipleship. We're all called to be disciples, right? To pour in the word of God to a new believer so they could do the work. Right? Jesus said it in Matthew 28 through 20. The Apostle Paul said this, 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things which thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit or entrust thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. 1 Thessalonians 2:7, but we are gentle among you, even as a nurse cheereth to their children, talking about the idea of feeding or like the idea of a mom. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own selves, our own life, because you were dear unto us. So we need to train new believers, and then they're supposed to mature, and their goal is to what? To pour into other people. Your goal as a Christian is not to sit here and soak and learn something, no. If you've been saved for a while, our goal is to pour into others. Now, you may the first way you start is in your home, right? You're pouring into, I'm just looking at Carrie, right? You're pouring into Noah. You're teaching them God's ways. That's where it begins. No parent is perfect, by the way. I was talking to a mom this week, like, really so overwhelmed. I said, look, man, just keep teaching the principles. They're gonna rebel. And Noah's gonna say, no, Shannon, okay, it's gonna happen. But you can't give up. You gotta keep pouring in. And one day, whether they decide to drift from God, that's on them. Now, let me quickly just go to the next one. We're running out of time here. Pick those who demonstrate godly characteristics, though, to help you be a leader. Watch. Look at verse 21. It says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, a place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. Excuse me. So he said, look, pick those men who fear God, are honest, don't covet. Why? Because they'd be corrupt if they didn't. They'd be corrupt people. Let me quote that Luke 16:10-13. Jesus said this, very powerful. He said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Well, that's that principle. People say, you know, your kids, oh, I got this little thing. It's only a dollar. Well, you didn't take care of it. You want this? Oh, no, I really would take care of that because it'll be more. No, it's not true. Jesus is saying it. If you're not faithful with this, you're not going to be faithful with that. See, these are God's principles, not human principles. He says, then he goes on to say, and he that is unjust or dishonest in least is also in much. So if the person's stealing a $1 item, and they say, oh, it's only a dollar. But if I had $10,000, I would definitely be honest with that. No, not true. That's not true either. Right? He says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, talking about money and material possessions, who will commit to you to trust the true riches, the spiritual things? That's why when people are in position, if they're not being good stewards of what God has given them, they shouldn't be there. Now, nobody's perfect. Don't get me wrong. He says, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And then he says, no servant can serve two masters, for either will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or riches at the same time. It's impossible. Remember, godly character will take you further than talent or money. Proverbs 22:1 says this, a good name or a good testimony is rather to be chosen or selected than great riches, and loving favor from God rather than silver or gold. Now, remember, I preached a whole message on this one time. I said, if I had to give you $1,000,000 or a godly character, which one would you choose? The Bible says, choose the godly character. It's more precious than all the money in the world. See, God's principles are so awesome. And you can know, you can bet on, this is the truth. I don't care what you feel or someone tells you, what the world tells you. You go to the university and they tell you some philosophy. It's not true if this is not the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is true. This works. The last one and we'll close. So the process of giving over responsibility. Realize that you can't perform it alone. Prepare others to help you. Pick those who demonstrate godly characteristics. Number four, develop a plan with those who are helping. Look at verse 22. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So it shall be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Jump to verse 24. So Moses hearkened, and actually this all took place after he was given the law on Mount Sinai, to the voice of his father-in-law, and did that all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, and rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people, and at all seasons the hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. This is where our court system came from, right here in the scriptures. Right? You got all the judges here, and then you have the Supreme Court. Moses was the Supreme Court. It all comes to this passage. But the problem is, not everybody is God-fearing. See the qualifications there? Could you imagine if all the judges were God-fearing? Not after money. There'd be no corruption. There'd be fairness and justice. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. Now the results of delegating to others is verse 23. Look what it says. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. See, you're not going to get burnt out, Moses. Right? There's going to be peace for you, and all the people shall also go to this place in peace. So you're not going to get burnt out. All their matters will get taken care of. So watch. The two today. If you and I are not thanking God throughout the day and having a conversation with him and letting him talk to us, we have forgotten God. It is that simple. So come back. Come back. Spend that time with God every day and talk to him and thank him. And then you start thanking him for all the little things that we say, my might, my power. We don't say that. That's why you say, I don't say that. I'm not worshiping some other gods. No, we're worshiping ourselves. So let's repent. Let's repent of that. Let's come back today. God is waiting for us to come back like the prodigal son. And if you're discouraged of doing the right thing, don't stop. Let me give you a couple of passages here. The first one I want to read is when Solomon built the temple, and God said to him, listen, if Israel wanders away from me, tell them this. If I shut up heaven that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, why? Because Israel wandered away. Tell my people this, which I'll call by my name. Humble themselves, pray, seek my face. Why? They're not seeking. They're not grateful. They forgot God. And turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Verse 15. Now, after they do that, my eyes shall be open. My ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. So that tells me, look, when we forget God, he ain't hearing nothing. He's waiting for us to come back to him. And then if we're discouraged, we got to keep on going. Repent, keep going. Last passage, Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says this. Be not deceived. It means don't be seduced. Don't wander. God is not mocked. He's not ridiculed. Don't turn your nose up to God. That's the idea behind the Greek. For whosoever is a man, for so man as soweth, he shall also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not be wearying in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Please come back to God. This message convicted me so much. Because we go, oh, I know all this Bible knowledge. It means nothing. That's like me not talking to Linda for a week. But I know all about her. We can have a close relationship. I was saying to her today, honey, look at that dress. You look so awesome. You should remember those frumpy dresses you used to wear? And she goes, look, God has been giving her clothes after clothes. She hasn't bought a thing. All these clothes have just been coming to her. And I was just like, you look so awesome today. Be grateful. I'll tell you what, I'm grateful. Be grateful for the people around you because tomorrow they may not be there. Let's start being thankful instead of criticizing people. Oh, you're this, you're that. I can't believe they did it. Let's stop all of that because that just shows me that we have forgotten God. And we're worrying so much about what's happening in America or around the world. Listen, pray. You want to be a politician, go be a politician. You want to stand up for what is right, go ahead. I have no problem with that. But don't be so overwhelmed. God, thank you that you're on the throne. I'm just a needy person here that needs you so much. And everybody listening to me, we need you, Lord. Forgive us for forgetting you. We say, oh, Lord, I'm not bowing down to a little statue. Oh, no, I forget you. I'm here worshiping. Listen, Israel, God bless them with all this stuff. And we have a lot of stuff here in America. And it draws us away. There's no doubt. You don't fool yourself. There's nothing wrong with it if we use it through the filter of God. And I think we forget the filter and we just kind of go on our own. And we're so fearful that things we won't provide. And it's so sad that our unbelief has caused us to wander from you. Our sin has caused us to wander from you. Well, devastating circumstances come and we don't run to you and we say, God, this is not fair. So, Father, we come humbly today and we ask you to forgive us. And we're going to get up, we're going to repent, and we're going to seek your face every day. We're going to be thankful for what you have done, what you will do. And we're going to trust in you and not the government, not some other person or place or thing. You are so awesome. No one looking around you here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I know Jesus Christ personally. I don't know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Anybody at all? I'm not sure. Just here today. I can pray for you. God is so good. The Bible says, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. So when we're not giving praise, our heart is not fixed. So get your heart back. Get your family back. Start praying together. Reading the Bible together. Just focusing on his kingdom. Man, he'll take care of your kingdom. So, Father, thank you today for your patience with us. I know you could wipe us all out, but we want to bring you glory today. We want to exalt you. We want to evangelize. I pray you call people from this place to go around the world. If we can't go, we'll support other people. We can't wait to see you, Lord, and there's going to be no more faith. There's going to be no more hope in heaven. There's just going to be love, God's love. And so we get there. Give us strength, Lord, and boldness to live for you and not for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your patience today. God bless you. Next week, we're going to start the book of Revelation, verse by verse. So pray.